If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What is going on, Bills Mafia fam? My people, how are you guys feeling today? It is an Overreaction Friday here in Buffalo, New York, and all around the world it is an Overreaction Friday, and our Buffalo Bills are set to face the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend, and I just want to know how you guys are feeling. How are you feeling coming off of that Miami Dolphins win to put us at 5-1? How are you feeling knowing that the Eagles are coming into town, a game that I would say beginning of the year, before the season started, we probably all would have picked as a potential loss. I'm sure there was a couple of you out there that might have been brave and thought, hey, I'm going to think the best about my team, about our Buffalo Bills, and I think that they can possibly win that game. So, yeah, how are you guys feeling? I'd love to know. It's Friday. I'd love to know how you guys are feeling. I'd love some more interaction. How do I get you awesome people, my fam, to interact with me more on social media, on Twitter, whatever I got to do, you let me know. I've promised to read your guys' tweets in my show. I'll retweet you guys. I'll try to get you followers. Not that I have a ton, but I'll do whatever I got to do. So yeah, in that vein, wondering how everybody's feeling. I have a couple tweets to share with you guys as far as how people are feeling coming into this weekend, this Overreaction Friday. California Buffalo at Bills JM says, regarding last week's Miami game, defense needs to get back to their level. If we keep our momentum from our second half against Miami, then I think we'll be good. You know what, bro, I agree. I agree 100%. I think that game, you know, when we look back at that game, you know, I've got a lot of feelings and emotions that have pretty much settled for me. And if that defense can, we'll just call it bounce back, and I think they will. I don't think there's going to be too much of a problem with them returning to their ways. I think we'll be good. So, yeah. So, I'm right there with you, bro. And then trust the process underscore Bills, TTP underscore Bills says, I picked this game, the Eagles game, as a loss before the season. Now a victory seems likely. Not really sure what the Eagles teams will show up or which Eagles team will show up this week. So, I thank you guys for your interaction. I thank you for tweeting me. And again, if you can hear my voice, interact with me. I'm a big fan of just being on Twitter and communicating and you know, corresponding with each other and having great conversation. I don't mind if feathers get ruffled. If you are into the Enneagram or any type of personality test like that, I am an 8, so I am a challenger. I love to argue. I love to debate, and I do so from a friendly standpoint. So I know a lot of times things come across or can come across on Twitter as being super disrespectful and angry or triggered. And I can be honest with you, I'm rarely, if ever, triggered. So I think I do a pretty good job of having conversation with people. So anything I can do. So this is me doing my best sell to try to get you guys to interact with me. So I know there's a whole bunch of you. I know there's a whole bunch of you out there just based on my downloads and my streams that are listening to me. And I'm going to call you guys lurkers. That's what I called you today, Twitter lurkers. So don't lurk anymore. Come out of the woodwork, because I want to know how you guys feel, because my guess is that the silent majority is pretty much in line with where I am on everything. But with where we are at on everything, how are you feeling? I honestly want to know. How are you feeling? How are you feeling coming off that Miami Dolphins game? What do we think? How do we feel about what we saw from the Buffalo Bills last weekend? I can tell you this for me, the dust is settled. I would tell you at this point that I'm over it. I listened back to my last podcast, to my last show, and I listen back often, and it's funny because I don't listen a lot. Like, I don't like listen to it 3 and 4 times. I listen to it once, generally half of it on my laptop, or I should say about a third of my laptop, a third of my car, my truck. And then I listen to a third of it off of my phone. And I'm listening for like technical stuff. I'm listening to for EQ and compression and silly stuff that doesn't matter to anybody in this world, how the microphone sounds. And am I enunciating properly? Am I talking slow enough? Because I have a tendency to talk fast and mumble when I talk. But I noticed in last week's show on Sunday, I talked about being angry, being frustrated, being super concerned and like upset. But I didn't really talk about the outcome of the game and like being happy. Like, I was excited. I was happy with the outcome of the game. Micah Hyde said it best. I'd rather have an ugly win than an ugly loss. And Micah's absolutely correct. So, you know, the dust is settled, and I think that we are able to look back kind of at last week, it's a W. And when it's all said and done, when they're seeding for the playoffs at the end of the year, that W is all that's going to matter. And I think I'm okay, and I hope you are too, with even the way that we won. As much as we're kind of longing for and waiting for a breakout game, on Twitter, I've used the word a statement game, and we haven't gotten it yet. We've gotten them from the defense. The defense has made many statements. And thank God, you know, that the one game where the defense came out maybe a little slow, a little sluggish, a little rusty is a term that I heard, that it was the game that we played against, you know, arguably the worst team in the NFL. I think almost every, if not all, power ranking places have the Dolphins ranked last. But I think that defense is going to be okay. I don't think that that is an identifier of who we are. I don't think the wheels have fallen off, which we have seen happen to this team many, many times. But I think that we're still waiting for that offense to come around. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. But I don't know that the Bills had a bad day. So what I saw with my eyes and what you saw with your eyes, I don't think is indicative of what actually happened. So I know that the defense, we've talked a lot about the defense, and I made it pretty clear in my last show that the Bills defense got owned by that Miami Dolphins offensive line. So it is what it is. We're just going to let that go. You know, the defense missed Matt Milano terribly. The good news is Matt Milano was practicing. There was video of him practicing fully today without wearing the red jersey, so he was wearing his normal color jersey. So that's a good sign. If we get Matt back, that's going to be huge for this defense, because Maurice Alexander was a little bit of a liability for us last week. Missed a lot of his gap assignments, missed some tackles, and was just not in his proper position. But apparently, I've learned since then from doing some research that he's a converted safety. So he was somewhat out of his element a little bit, not too much. I mean, obviously this is the, you know, professional football, so he's got some skill and talent and ability. But the defense, we'll just give it to the defense that, you know, it wasn't the best of days for them. It is what it is. I'm over it. Let's just be over it. And, we'll move on to the offense. There was a lot of momentum killers in that offensive game. So as I looked back and I think I watched the game back twice this week. So I was at the game, which, I'll be honest with you, doing this podcast, it's a lot easier to have recollection memory and kind of takeaways from the game when I'm sitting at home. And I don't know if that's because the atmosphere and the environment is different. I don't know if it's because it's more of a controlled environment. I don't know if it's because, you know, I have the announcers who generally are saying nothing you really care about. Sometimes they pull out some small stuff that's useful. But I was trying to take notes on my phone, sitting in my seat. My daughter's sitting next to me, reading over my shoulder, asking me what I'm doing. Why are you taking notes about the football game? This is really weird, Dad. She's 12. She's about to be 13. So she had all kinds of questions for me, and it was just awkward. And then, like, getting, you know, driving home, and then I tried to settle in a little bit, read a little bit of Twitter, listen to some post game interviews, and it was a little bit strange last week. But since I've had a chance to digest that game a couple times, and I think, you know, as we've gotten past it and we've read a lot of stuff on Twitter and we've read, or I should say heard, you know, all of our favorite people, Sal and people like that, talk about that game, I think that we're, generally speaking, kind of okay, right, with what happened. Like I said, you know, we were expecting a statement game. We didn't get it. We were expecting a blowout. At least I was. We didn't get it. There were some people that thought it was a little bit silly to expect a blowout. But by what we had seen from that Dolphins team, I don't think it was asking too much. But as we look back now, there was clearly a lot of momentum killers in that game for the offense. Every time something good would happen, if Josh would hit a, you know, a decent pass or there'd be a decent run, that play was either called back on some, whether it was a holding penalty or something, or, you know, the very next play there'd be a penalty, or the next play there'd be a drop, or Josh would, you know, lay a perfect ball in. The play that sticks out to me right now is the pass to Dawson Knox, where he up the seam, the tight end seam, and Dawson was wide open and he just turned to run a little too fast to kind of identify where the safety was so he didn't get his head taken off, and he dropped that pass. So there was a lot of, like, momentum killers, and it was just very hitchy. And kind of, you know, it just was kind of herky-jerky and just ugly, right? I'm still pretty unsure that we know what the offensive identity is. However, you have to come back to the fact that they drove the ball, or I should say they had five scoring drives in that play. Three field goals, two touchdowns. And for the most part, anytime you have five scoring drives in a football game with that defense, it should amount to a win. And in this case, it did for us. And then obviously we topped it off with Micah Hyde's return for a touchdown. I'm just not so sure that I wasn't possibly overreacting a little bit on Sunday after that game, but I guess that's what this show is about. So for me, I think I had tweeted out immediately after the game was over that there was a lot of Josh Allen hate out there. Like, a lot of people were upset. So I think if there's something that I want to get across on today's show as we kind of get through this today in the next 20 minutes, is let's just pump the brakes on Josh Allen a little bit. Let's just pump the brakes just a little bit. But that offense has talent. They got a lot of talent around the field. We're talking about an offensive team as well that I think is only returning two players from last year, and those two players, two starters, are Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins. Everybody else is brand spanking new. But they've got talent. I mean, if you think about, if you single out every single person on that team around the roster on offense, there's not really one. I mean, I think the one guy that's underperforming is Cody Ford, right? And it's because they keep throwing him out there at right tackle, a position that he's, we don't know whether or not he's suited for that position or not at this point. I mean, the book is still out, or the jury's still out. The book hasn't been written on him. I mean, he might be better as a right guard. I think we've seen in some of the right guard play that he's had that he's better suited as a right guard. But I think that there's an agenda there, and, you know, he's, you know, a high pick, a high draft pick, and the Bills are determined at this point to make sure that he pans out and they get out of him what they want, or at least give him every opportunity. I don't know what's going on with Ty Nsekhe. Obviously there was conversations and rumors about some knee issues and giving him fewer reps, but I mean, what are we paying him, like $10 million? And I think he had, what was it, 29% of the snaps? It wasn't a lot. Offensive snaps, that just seems like a lot of money to be paying somebody. But getting back to the point, I'm off track. There's a lot of talent on this offense. I think they just need to gel, right? I mean, if we consider that nine of them are brand new, not only to this team, but to each other. So, like, you've got 11 guys out there that have never, 10, if you do an average, 10 guys out there, 11 guys that have never played football together. And I don't know if we're asking too much at this point to get them to gel and play the way that we want to see them play. Now, I have been a big proponent of, we have seen some things out of them that are exciting. That's the, what I call the quick pass rhythm game, which is basically the game that Carson Wentz plays, the game that Tom Brady plays, the game that Jared Goff plays, the game that, you know, a lot of the good quarterbacks play, which is, you know, three steps, ball comes out, five steps, ball comes out, seven steps, ball comes out. The Bills can do that. Cole Beasley is just about unstoppable, as is John Brown when we're running those plays. Obviously the jet sweep stuff works. We're using that as you know, to disguise other plays now. And we're doing things off of that jet sweep because teams are afraid of it. They know we can run it. They know we can run it well. But I think there's still something out there that they're trying to execute that they haven't been able to execute yet. And it will be interesting to see what this offense becomes. And I have posted more than one time the gif of The Rock standing on the ropes, you know, with his arm straight out, you know, basically saying, come on, bring it on, in respect to, if this offense figures it out with this defense, look out AFC, look out NFL. But I think what's important to understand when it comes to this offense and it comes to, you know, the talent that's on this team and around this team, when we speak specifically about execution, and it's this statement: big time players step up in big moments. And we're seeing that. So we're seeing when this team needs something, when this team is down on the mat a little bit, you know, we're so used to the last 20 years, the Buffalo Bills, whenever, you know, something comes up and it just begins to go bad, or, you know, we end up in a situation where our opponent takes the lead in the fourth quarter or late in the third quarter and the momentum kind of shifts or swings, or there's a series of bad calls or a series of bad plays or a series of just bad penalties, that this team is generally folded like a chair, folded right up like a chair. So, man, and I swear we do have PTSD from the Bills folding up like a chair for the last 20 years. I'm starting to get better, but I'm still expecting it. I'm still expecting this team to fold like a chair, but they're not. So I want you to focus on that. That's the space I want you to live in. I want you to live in the reality that big time players step up in big moments. And that has been happening on this team. And it hasn't been one person necessarily that has done it. Like, thank God this player saved us every single time. It's been kind of spread around a little bit. Josh Allen has been very much the captain of all of it and has been the one that the whole thing is kind of ridden on. But from an offensive standpoint, when they start to execute, it looks good. I'm just dying to find out who it is that they're trying to be on offense, because we have not seen it yet, in my opinion. So I'd like to see better execution. I'd like to see a better game plan. How about that word? Just seems like sometimes we have this tendency, Dable has this tendency to get a little bit cute at the wrong moment. And I'm sure that if this guy didn't miss his block or this person didn't run the wrong way or something, whatever the execution was, that the play would have worked, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, for me personally, you know, I want to see execution. I want to see a better called game from Dable. Like, I want to see an entire, I don't want that, so that came out wrong. I don't want to say that he hasn't called a good game. There's just moments in the game where I don't think it's getting away from him. I think I don't know what he's doing. There's just sometimes in the game where it's like, what was with that play? But I'm willing to settle in. I'm willing to pump the brakes a little bit. I'm willing to temper my expectations on the offense. I love watching this defense play. And I'll go to the mat with this defense. But I'm ready to temper my expectations just a little bit on this offense. So if we look back at the Miami game, real quick, just briefly, now that we've kind of settled in, 5-1 feels so good. Oh, just say it to yourself. 5-1 feels so good. Doesn't it feel good? I don't care who we played. 5-1 feels so good. But as we look back at the Miami game, I still believe that the story of that game, regardless of what everybody else has kind of said about it, is in the fourth quarter, our first touchdown drive, scoring drive, the Buffalo Bills against the Miami Dolphins have to go for and get a two-point conversion to protect the lead against the Dolphins. That's the story of that game for me, and always will, that they're protecting the lead in the fourth quarter against the Dolphins by going for two. Let that sink in. Let that sink in for a minute. Like, that's an interesting detail about that game. When you think in retrospect of how the offense was playing, how the defense was playing, and just kind of what we expected going into it. However, the game just had a weird feeling. The whole thing, right? It just didn't. And I'll be honest with you, I'm sitting in the stands, and I don't know how many of you even know this. If you weren't at the game, you probably, if you were not at the game, I don't think you knew it. And if you were at the game, it probably didn't cross your mind. If you came in late, you didn't know it. But the game started weird. And if there's something I'm kind of over and I don't ever want to see again, because this is the first time I've ever seen it that I can remember. When the Bills did their introductions, they introduced the special teams unit. And right now you're sitting there going, what? The Bills introduced the special teams unit. The special teams unit is one of the worst units in the league, in the NFL. So if you're sitting there right now like I was on Sunday going, why in the world are we trucking our special teams out there? I mean, clearly you can barely hear the names anyway. Right? I mean, it's the audio in that stadium is awful. I love that stadium to watch a football game in. I've been to many stadiums, and it's one of my favorite places to watch a game in, but the audio sucks. So the whole game started weird as they introduced the special teams. That's who came out. Like, Andre Roberts gets the wildest applause as he's the last one coming out of the tunnel, and it's just like, what? What? And that game was weird and continued to be weird and was strange watching it, watching our defense get manhandled, watching our offense play ugly and stutter all the way up until the two-point conversion happens and Josh Allen runs into the end zone and then runs out of the end zone and chucks the ball into the stands. And it was that moment when he reared back and chucked that football into the stands, and if this is me being a fanboy, that's fine. I'll take it. You can call me out on Twitter. That was the moment. When that happened, I was like, we're going to win this game. That was the momentum shift from the time that Trey White intercepted that ball. We drove the field 98 yards, the pass to John Brown, and when they got that two-point conversion, the weirdness ended because it was a weird game. When Josh Allen chucked that ball into the stands. And that was the moment for me that I knew that we were going to win that game. So we come out of that game with a W, which is where we want to be, no matter what happens, no matter how it looks, no matter what the score is, wins. It's all that matters. Wins. And when you think about that game and you think about and you come back to what we saw and you come back to how the game played out and the weirdness of it. There's been a lot of narration. There's been a lot of people talking about what it looked like. And there's been, you know, there's people on different sides of the fence. There's obviously the crazies. And if you're a crazy, I'm sorry, the crazies that are angry that Josh Allen didn't throw for 300 yards. you know, that the offense didn't show up, that the defense got punched in the mouth. And then you've got the other side of those people, or the other side of that, where the W is all that matters. We won, baby. We're 5-1. And for me, to be honest with you, I'm probably on the side of the we're 5-1, right? Like, what are we making a big deal of? We're 5-1. But there's been this interesting pump the brakes narrative on Josh Allen lately, like the last week. And I think I agree. Like, can we just pump the brakes on Josh Allen? And as much as we're going to, and I'm going to try to temper my expectations on the offense, I think I'm going to temper my expectations on Josh Allen. I think it was one of the first podcasts I did, one of the first shows I did, I talked about I need to be better about not being psychotic about every single incompletion the man throws, because somehow I'm in a fear bunker that somebody's going to bring up his completion percentage and his accuracy. And Josh Allen is not struggling with accuracy. Yes, his long ball is ridiculous and he's got a monkey on his back, and that monkey on his back is the long ball. Josh Allen does not have an accuracy problem. So what does it mean? What are we talking about when I say pump the brakes on Josh Allen? I told you in the last show, and I wanted you all to repeat it. Hopefully if you listened when I said repeat after me, you did. Josh Allen is not a complete football player yet. He has an incredible ceiling. I'm going to keep saying this to you guys till you believe me. He has the highest ceiling of all of the 2018 quarterbacks. We have not yet begun to see the talent that could be realized by Josh Allen and the level of play that could be realized. I'm not saying that's going to happen, could be realized. He's not a complete player yet. There's been a lot of noise out there this past week about maybe setting new expectations on him. And what I mean by that is, like, he doesn't need to throw 300 yards. He doesn't need to hit the long ball. It's like we're moving the goalposts. You hear that term a lot. And there's been a little bit of that this week. The things that we have kind of been like measuring him by, that all of a sudden it's like we're not measuring him by those things anymore. Now we're just going to measure him by W's. And if you feel like I'm going somewhere with this, you'd be right. I am. Some people think that he comes out early a little too excited, that he's super competitive. And he's way too excited, and like that's why he's overthrowing stuff, and he's rip-roaring and ready to go, and he doesn't settle in because of the adrenaline until the third quarter. I could probably buy into that if it wasn't for the fact that his teammates, the most common thing that his teammates say about him is that he's even through the whole game. He's never too up, he's never too down. So I don't know that I buy into that. So if we're going to refocus on Josh's game, or refocus Josh's game, and there's been a lot of what I would call Josh Allen apologetics out there, moving the goalposts, 300-yard games don't matter. If he never throws a 300-yard game again, it's fine. It'll come. The W is all that matters. It's true. As long as he doesn't make a mistake, as long as he doesn't throw interceptions, as long as he doesn't, whatever you want to call it, you know, as long as he gets the W. So there's been a pumping of the brakes. And I want to press in a little bit, because I know some of you are thinking it. Because we've kind of been here before with past quarterbacks, where the expectation was outside of the reach of what the quarterback could give us. And I'm specifically speaking of Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor had all the tools in his belt, none of the desire to use some of those tools. Josh Allen has all the tools in his belt, probably better tools in some instances, in some cases, than Tyrod has. And I know there's people out there that feel it, that don't want to talk about it and don't want to bring it up because they don't want to get crucified on Twitter. Why is it okay now for Josh Allen to be a game manager who gets W's, but it was not okay for Tyrod Taylor to be a game manager and get W's? And frankly, that's a really good question. And the answer for me simply lies in something that every single one of us has, and that's a set of eyes. When you watch Josh Allen play football, and when you used to watch Tyrod Taylor play football, they are completely different players. The stats are similar. They run a lot, both of them. They're both running threats. They both are getting W's. But the reality is they don't look the same when they throw. They don't look the same when they, quote unquote, manage their game. Tyrod Taylor was amazingly afraid to throw over the middle of the football field. You didn't see a tight end seam pass from Tyrod Taylor almost ever. Tyrod Taylor, when he dropped back to pass, when he stood back in the pocket bouncing if he got the protection he needed, when he let that ball go, you knew one thing. The receiver was wide open. You knew it. And as I say that, think to yourself, smile, and be like, yeah, that's right. Every time Tyrod Taylor stood in the pocket for more than like 2 seconds, when he finally let the ball go, you knew it was being completed because whoever it was wide open. And more than likely, they were on the outside edges of the field. Tyrod Taylor rarely threw with anticipation. And then there was the whole, the people around him, you know, the tools, he had no tools to work with. Tyrod Taylor had Shady McCoy, Robert Woods, Marquise Goodwin, and you know the other guy that's in Kansas City. Who's always injured. Just might as well throw that in there. He had weapons. Sammy Watkins is a legit stud wide receiver. Yes, he was made of glass a little bit when he was here, but you know his name and you know who he is. Tyrod Taylor had legit weapons. And he had Charles Clay. As much as Charles Clay infuriated a bunch of us, he's not exactly he was not a bad football player. Josh Allen passes the eye test. He makes mistakes and he makes some boneheaded plays and he makes some throws that make you want to pull your hair out at times. But Josh Allen passes the eye test. There's two types of throws for me that are literally the dividing line or the line that separates a great quarterback, a professional NFL quarterback, and everybody else that never makes it. The first one, we all are familiar with, they're anticipation throws, generally on outs, so intermediate to deep outs, where the ball is in the air before the receiver makes his break, and they can be ins as well. That throw and tight end seam passes. Every great quarterback throws the tight end seam. Josh Allen loves the tight end seam pass, and it's such an effective throw. The problem is when you make that throw, one of the ones that Josh threw this past Sunday, threw into triple coverage, and completed the pass. Because it's a near impossible pass to defend, just like an anticipation throw. Because the defender doesn't know the ball's coming. Neither does the receiver, technically. Receiver turns around, the ball hits him. Oh, there it is. Surely we all did these things in the backyard with that's how I grew up. My dad throwing me these passes, these timing patterns in the backyard. Like, that's how I learned about them. Obviously, I don't have a physical skill set to play NFL football. I barely had the physical skill set to play high school football. So the reason that I'm okay with Josh Allen right now being a game manager, pumping the brakes on Josh Allen, tempering my expectations of Josh Allen, and I wasn't okay with Tyrod, and this is just me being honest, is because of the throws that Josh makes, the fact that he's only played 15, I think it's 15 full games, complete games, and I know there's people out there that don't want to hear that anymore. Started 17, completed 15. And what I see with my eyes. And what you see with your eyes is potential. There's opportunity there for this young man to check all the boxes. But we need to pump the brakes. We need to temper our expectations on Josh. I already told you that I said it in the last show, and I'm going to say it again. Josh Allen is not yet a complete football player. Not yet. He will be soon. This time next year, hopefully. Maybe a little longer. Maybe a little sooner. Does that mean that he couldn't or won't digress? No, he could absolutely regress. Sorry. He could regress. But I don't expect him to. So that's what I've got for Josh Allen and this Buffalo Bills offense. Real quick, I'm going to finish this thing up. Basically, I want to talk super fast just about this week's game, the Eagles preview. Couple players, three players that most of you will know the names of. They're actually injured. Jason Peters, the left tackle, formerly of the Buffalo Bills. Nigel Bradham, linebacker, formerly of the Buffalo Bills. And Ron Darby. Right now, it looks like Jason Peters and Nigel Bradham are not going to play in this game. And Ron Darby, they're saying, looks like he may. However, this Eagles team, I have no idea what to expect from them. And that's kind of like the national opinion right now, is it's like, we don't know who's going to show up to this football game. The Bills are favored, which is incredible. I don't think we ever would have imagined that the Eagles would have come to New Era Field and that we would be favored. But I have a little bit of fear and trepidation. I think our defense is going to show up and shut them down. They haven't fired on all cylinders offensively. They haven't fired on all cylinders defensively. The Eagles I'm speaking of right now, they've just not done a very good job. They've had a lot of injuries. They've had a rash of injuries, and they're just not playing good football. They had their clocks cleaned by the Cowboys, who got their clocks cleaned by the Jets, who got their clocks cleaned by the Patriots. This football, this football league makes no sense, but I'm a little hesitant to get too super up or excited about this football game this weekend because I don't know who's going to show up. Which Eagles team, by that I mean. I know which Bills team is going to show up. I'm expecting solid, great defense, and I'm expecting an offense searching to find itself still. And hopefully a quarterback that I've tempered my expectations on, who is going to play a mistake-free or mostly mistake-free football game, that's going to put us in a position to win. So if I had a prediction for this weekend, and it's funny because I could flip-flop on it, I'm going to say 17-13 Bills or 17-13 Eagles. How's that for a whacked-out prediction? I told you guys last week in my first ever prediction on a podcast that I'm never right. Like, my predictions are always wrong, and I was way wrong. But I'm going to say this week, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think the under-over is 42 points. I think it's definitely going to be under. But I'm going to go 17-13 Bills or 17-13 Eagles. I think the Bills pull this out, though. I think they're going to be all over Carson Wentz. I think the Bills offense will be able to do some work against this Eagles defense. I'm a little bit concerned of Jordan Howard, who, you know, obviously the Eagles got via trade from the Bears. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting nonetheless. So two last quick things for you, and then I'm going to let you guys go because this podcast is getting super, super long. So last week, or I should say after last Sunday's game, I got to find it. Where is it? I tweeted a picture. If you saw on Twitter, I tweeted a picture at the NFL officials. And in that picture, I sent them a shot after I was rewatching the game of the holding call that was called on Dawson Knox on the third and one that got called back. We converted a third and one and it got called back. And I basically sent them a picture of that. And I said that this is why the fans of the NFL hate you guys, because in that picture, it was clear that Dawson Knox was holding, absolutely holding. It was also clear that the defensive player was committing an illegal hands to the face penalty. So Dawson is holding on to the player. They're several yards away from the play, but he's holding the player, the defensive player, and the defensive player has his hands straight up in the face of Dawson Knox. Two penalties. So I just tweeted at the NFL officials, and I said, this is why fans of the NFL hate you right now. And they responded to me. I literally got a message from them. I should say a tweet back from them. And this is what the tweet said. Joe, that's me. Please review the frames before this picture. The offensive player was in an illegal blocking stance, causing the flag to be thrown. This is the correct call. Now, I responded to them, but they didn't respond back to me. Something to the effect of what I said was, so you're telling me that Dawson Knox committed an illegal holding penalty? Yes, I see the picture. And after that moment, no other penalty can be called on the defender who's committing illegal hands to the face. They didn't respond. So they basically just doubled down on what they said, that, you know, Dawson Knox did indeed commit a holding penalty, to which we all have to say, yes, he did. But they did not even acknowledge the fact that there was an illegal hands to the face penalty on the same two, like on the same player that was being held. So it was a little ridiculous. So I'm going to let you guys go with this non-Bills news story that probably only matters to me. And if you follow me on Twitter, you saw it. If you don't know my Twitter handle, it is at Joe Miller Wired. But basically their video surfaced, or video was released yesterday of Pat Mahomes practicing already. And if you don't know what happened, Pat Mahomes was injured. What was it, last week? His kneecap was dislocated and they popped it back in during the game. And it's supposed to be a 3 to 6 week injury. There was video yesterday, the dude running around on the field, like practicing, and like everybody's all up in arms and it's great. And how amazing. And Patty Mahomes is like, you know, he's going to play soon, blah, 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 blah. To me, this is the most irresponsible thing I think I've ever seen a team do. That dude is going to hurt himself, and it's ridiculous that he could barely run. He could barely bend his knee running around on that football field, on that practice football field, that practice field rather. And if it's a situation where Pat Mahomes can't protect himself from himself, then the team is required and responsible, just like they are with concussion protocols, to get his butt off the football field. Not to mention, what is the message that it sends to the rest of his team if he's basically out there telling them that you can't win without me, so I have to come out and practice with you because you can't win without me? Oh, and by the way, he's taking much needed reps away from Matt Moore, who has gotten probably no reps so far this season. So I was pretty much appalled, disgusted by that whole entire sequence, that scenario, that video that I saw. And if there's one thing I'm proud of our Bills organization, the Pegulas and Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, it is the precautions that they are taking with our players. As frustrating as it can be, with Devin Singletary not playing when he probably could, or Matt Milano not playing when he probably could, or, you know, Mitch Morse in the preseason not playing when he probably could, that precaution that they're taking with our players is something to be proud of. Because if I was a Chiefs fan, I'd be pretty upset. I'd probably, as a season ticket holder, I'd probably write them a letter, because it's just ridiculous. So that's, like I said, non-Bills news story that probably only matters to me. That's all I got for you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. I don't know if I can ever keep this thing under 30 minutes. Like, it literally creeps up a little bit farther almost every time. So I've been on for 41 minutes. I apologize. I hope you find it interesting. Do me a favor. Please interact with me on Twitter. Talk to me. Chat me up. When I put something out there, if there's a question, respond. I would love to read your guys' stuff on Twitter, or on my show, your Twitter, your tweets to me on my show. So, but I'm really, really looking forward to and excited for this week's game. I think we're going to get a mixed bag. I don't know exactly what we're going to get as far as the outcome. Like I said, for my prediction, I think it could go either way. I have the best hopes that it will be us on top, and we will finish this week at 6-1. But I will be back on Sunday for a post-game show, an overreaction Sunday, and let's get this win, baby. Let's get this win. We'll talk to you guys soon. Joe Miller out. Go Bills.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.